Welcome. Well, today I want to talk about the most important thing, and I want to talk about our Sangha practice, and they've got a real close connection, as most things in Zen Buddhism do. They're not separate. They're the same thing. Our main practice is to view and respond to the world with our big mind, the expansive view, our true self. All of these are synonyms: enlightened mind, Buddha nature, to see the world and respond to it with this big mind, rather than our habitual karmic minds, our small self, our conventional self. We kind of switch back and forth, but if we can stay close to this expanded view, to our big mind, the way we relate to the world, the way we negotiate the world, that's what our practice is all about. And we cultivate this big mind by consistently letting go, recognize that, oh, I'm stuck in an old habit. Can I let that go? Or Jean gave us a good exercise last week. When we're feeling stuck or frustrated, just raise our eyes to the horizons, to get that expanded view, and maybe take a big breath, and then continue meeting the world and negotiating the world with that big mind, with that expanded view, with the mind, with the mind that just said, I'm going to let go of this habitual thought, this habitual way of doing things, and let me look at this with this more expanded view. And of course, we get to do this, we get to practice this. Not only we have the opportunity 24 hours a day, but we specifically practice it in our Zazen, where we face the wall, we get into this posture of Buddha, and we might notice a thought coming up, and we can just say, you know, I'm not going to expand on this. I'm going to let this thought go and get back to my breath. I'm not going to elaborate this thought the way I usually elaborate my story or elaborate my life. I'm just going to let this go and get back to my breath. And this practice of always letting go, of always saying, you know, this isn't quite it. Can I get a bigger view here? Can I walk into this situation a little more expansive and close to my true nature, close to my Buddha nature? Can that shine through a little bit more? And as this view gets larger and larger, our world becomes more vivid and alive. But the last time I spoke here, I was really taken by the word vivid. That was a word that Uchiyama Roshi used to describe engagement with the world. It becomes more vivid. I'm participating more fully with this expanded view. Dogen calls this big mind, this Buddha nature, this expanded mind, this expansive view, he calls it moon mind. he took that after a Chinese teacher and poet from a few centuries before, who wrote the poem, "The moon mind is alone and full. Its light swallows up myriad forms." Those are the first two lines of this poem. The moon mind is alone and full. Its light swallows up myriad forms. He means that our enlightened mind fills the whole universe, so that there's only one thing. There's not a million things in this universe. There's just our expanded big mind. When we take that view of the horizon, the entire horizon, the entire world in 360 degrees is all our mind. So this moon mind is alone and full. There's nothing else but it. Just this expanded moon mind, which is one thing. A Zen teacher up in Olympia, Washington, Ado Frances Carney, wrote in a essay she wrote in the book entitled "Receiving the Marrow: Teachings on Dogen by Soto Zen Women Priests." She uses a little different translation for moon mind, and she looks at this fascicle of Dogen that I've been studying all summer, the moon, Tsuki, the moon. Her translation says, here it is. "The moon of our heart and mind is solitary and full. The moon of our heart and mind is solitary and full. Its light swallows up myriad forms." Our enlightened nature of our heart mind is solitary and full. You know, the character for mind and heart in Chinese and Japanese is the same, shin, and it means heart/mind, heart mind. And I think Edo Roshi really wanted to underline that our big mind really is connected so intimately with our heart. So the enlightened nature of our heart and mind is solitary and full. Its light swallows up myriad forms. The moon is a metaphor for enlightenment or true nature or Buddha nature in a lot of our teaching. And when we're talking about the moonlight, think about when we look at someone, when I look at Kathy or Nettie on the screen here, all I see is their light. All I see is light coming into my eyes. When I see them, it doesn't even have to be on the computer screen. When I see them walking, sometimes I see them walking with their masks on 6 feet away from me now. And that pattern of light that I see is, I've trained myself to say, that pattern of light, that's Kathy. And that pattern of light is Nettie. And so all we see is light. So this this moonlight, let me make sure I'm saying what I wrote down. So this moonlight, this radiant light of Buddha nature, the moonlight, swallows up form. So, and my moon mind, when I've really cultivated my moon mind, all I see is that light of Buddha nature reflected back at me. The moon mind, its light swallows up myriad forms. All I see is Buddha nature when I've cultivated my moon mind. My Buddha nature only sees Buddha nature. My Buddha nature is swallowing up Buddha nature. It is just that's what our teaching says. If we can cultivate this moon mind, we're only seeing Buddha nature, and we can negotiate the world Buddha nature, seeing nothing but Buddha nature. It's not a blank world. It's not a quiet world. It's seeing the world as it is. It's seeing the true nature of the whole world. Buddha nature, seeing nothing but Buddha nature. And when I see the Buddha nature of my car, I can get in that car and drive with big mind to the store and meet all those bodhisattvas that that work at Staff of Life and Safeway and New Leaf and Shopper's Corner. And I can see nothing but the bodhisattvas around me and the Buddha nature that they're exhibiting, coming to work every day, putting on those masks, washing their hands 100,000 million, 10 million times a day. It's Buddha nature seeing nothing but Buddha nature. So I can negotiate the world with my moon mind. And that brings me to our Sangha practice. You know, we're a busy group. I mean, look at all of us that zoomed in tonight and to practice the Dharma together, to work on Dharma words from Dogen and from Chinese masters. Look at all of us. But we've got our board meeting. I attended our Board of Trustees meeting last night. We've got our Monday morning book group. We've got our Awakening Together group. We've got the Koan group. We've got the Foundations of Zen group. Before we shut down, we had our cooking every week. We had our Sangha days, where we kept the place tidy and did repairs on a regular basis all together. Our little group does myriad activities together as a Sangha. And I've been overwhelmed with the moon mind that I've met in our groups. I'm recalling our last Awakening Together group. You know, we weren't even agreeing. We were having kind of a prickly discussion, and yet And yet it was a discussion that came out of our moon mouths, that came out of our moon, out of our hearts, out of our mind, so completely that everybody was leaning in, like you're all doing now, trying to hear my voice. Everybody was leaning in because it was such a heart connection. And you know, our board has to, the board is pulling out its hair, going, you know, we haven't unlocked the door in 6 months. What kind of a Zen center is this? How can we have a Zen center that with its doors shut? I mean, that's what the board has been up against for the last 6 weeks, and yet it meets regularly with such an open heart, with their moon minds. So many of us have had difficulties and illness, and the Sangha is so supportive, meeting and helping out with our heartfelt support. There's someone in our Sangha now who's just beginning treatment for cancer, and she calls our Sangha, as well as the other groups that are supporting her during this time. She calls it her golden support net. So it's all about our hearts and minds. It's all about our Sangha practice. All of these gatherings that we have is meeting with this heart, connecting heart to heart, moon mind to moon mind, Buddha nature to Buddha nature. We're swallowing each other up, which means, you know, when you swallow, like the dinner before sitting here, it's me, you know. First it's out there, and then it's nothing but me. And that's what we become when we sit together like this, when we attend the board meeting, or when we go to the Monday morning class, or when we go to the foundations class. We're all swallowing each other up so that we're just one heart and one mind. We're negotiating the world with our moon minds. So this is our Sangha practice, and this is what's called taking refuge in Sangha, coming home to our Sangha, meeting our true nature through our relationships in the Sangha. This is our taking refuge in Sangha. You know, we take refuge in Buddha when we sit Zazen, when we follow our breath and let thoughts go, let go time and again. That's our taking refuge in Buddha. And we take refuge in Dharma when we meet together like this every Wednesday night and really wholeheartedly work on our with our Buddhas and ancestors to understand the Buddha's teaching. So and then we've got our Sangha practice, which is all of the times that we're together on Zoom or on when we're able to meet in person. When we're discussing the Dharma, when we're discussing how to support our friends that are going through difficulties, when we're these are the three refuges that we take. Buddha, we take refuge in Buddha, we take refuge in Dharma, and we take refuge in Sangha. Edo Carney says that swallowing up the moon mind, its light swallows up myriad forms. She says that swallowing up is understanding and comprehension, complete comprehension, she says with an exclamation point. It means to be generally intimate with Buddha nature. Our Buddha nature is seeing nothing but Buddha nature. And this is our whole practice, to be intimate with Buddha nature and do it by taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. So maybe, you know, I'm looking at this screen and most everybody here, in addition to Wednesday nights, in addition to sitting Zazen at home or in the Zendo or in front of the screen, most of the people here also participate in our study groups or our Sangha days, or our board. Maybe you can, what's the feeling tone for you all in those Sangha get-togethers? And I think, you know, are you discovering your Buddha nature in Sangha practice as well as in your Dharma study or in your meditation? So what is the feeling tone that you may have experienced in your Sangha practice? Nettie.
I usually just feel so much gratitude when I'm with Sangha, like here, but like on Sangha days, whenever we're just doing things together, just such a sense of that we're unified together and that we've all chosen in that moment to all be together and do whatever that is, that thing that we're doing. And it fills me with gratitude.
Yeah, I agree. And you use the word whole, and that's exactly what I feel. That, you know, this is the whole works, this screen in front of us, all of our moon minds, and this is what Hoshaku is the Japanese name for the Chinese poet. Meant when he said, the moon mind is alone and full. It's just full up, and there's nothing outside of this. It's we've all put this together, and it's the whole works, and it's filled, is alone and filled with gratitude. Thank you, Nettie.
And actually, another thing is, I feel so just at ease that I forget myself, and that's really refreshing to just feel that ease. And I think it's because there's that sense of this common love of the Dharma, and here we all are together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Any other, Rachel?
Thank you. I actually don't feel any of those things. I don't really feel my Buddha nature coming forth or warmth or anything. When I'm in the Sangha, almost more than other groups, I see people putting forward our own conditioning and habits, self-interest, and all the rest. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, lately I've really felt that I can't do this alone, that I need the breadcrumbs of all these groups and meditation times and all that to keep me going. Or just listening to things on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually why I go to all the things.
Because there is some feeling tone of support.
Right. I think all the programming kind of keeps it going and keeps it alive for me. Yeah. Too. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome. It makes me think of instructions that we get at the beginning of Sesshin, where you've got the whole day, the whole weekend programmed out before you. And the instruction is, can you just turn yourself over to that, to this schedule? Can you kind of trust the environment enough, that you can just turn it all over to that? And that's, you know, kind of a wordless, I mean, we say it in words, but the actual turning our life over to the structure of the day is really kind of wordless. We just find ourselves carried along in it, supported by the schedule or the activity, or what's being studied. Thank you. Stan.
I had a wonderful experience today. I had my second cataract operation, and it was just an absolute delight as to how much giving everyone, I mean, they were all, as you were saying, wiping down everything every time, but just so friendly and right there, but focused on what needed to be done. And this is my second cataract surgery, and there was the same thing before. They were just there, ready to do whatever it took to get the job done, and in a very loving and giving way, as well as very professional. So it was a delight.
I can see clearly now that is past.
Yes.
You're looking great, Stan, and I know you're seeing great.
Yeah, thank you. Better and better, bit by bit.
Is that Scott? Did you raise your hand?
No, I was just waving to Stanley.
Okay. There's Kathy. Kathy, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I've had a hard time with the Zoom. And so I'm finding my Sangha connections are more one-on-one with people. I find that if there's just one person on the screen or maybe two, that I can be more present. Not that I'm not present here. I'm doing a lot on Zoom and I value this form. And yet for me, so much of my Sangha experience is in my body, you know, working together, doing things, that I really miss. And so, you know, I haven't been as active, I think, as I usually am, because there's just so much screen time I can tolerate. And then I'd have to be with live humans or out of doors or, you know, something like that, not focusing on the pixels of light.
Yeah.
Different kind of light, Patrick, not the Buddha nature light, which I really appreciated. Love that you introduced that, teaching. I've never heard of it. I had no idea there was a Dogen fascicle called Suki, and I am going to totally check it out because that sounds like my cup of tea. So thank you for introducing that.
You're very welcome. And this is an extra degree of difficulty. This era that we're in, that where we are home alone, or with, and not in personal contact with the Sangha as much as we usually are. So an extra degree of difficulty. And maybe that's why, you know, when I come away from a few of these groups that of course are on Zoom, I've just been overwhelmed with, as Nettie said, gratitude and, that here we are, even with this extra degree of difficulty, we can communicate with such heart and with such connection. And that's another piece that as we said in another group, it's not love, but it's not bad. Zoom now is kind of the best we can do, and I'm even able to it's like watching 50s television. Buddha nature has to really fight to come through, but I've been feeling it. Thank you. Margarita, is that a request to say something? How about Joyce?
Why don't you come sit?
No, I was just sitting on the floor listening. I was reminded by a friend that change is just the way things are. And I've been contemplating that thought just about all day. And when I came here today, this evening, it just seemed like there's a structure, there's a presence that is very calming and very settling. Yes. And I really appreciate that. Mm. And it's hard to express, is that presence being together here, yeah, and listening to your talk, Patrick, that was just really good. I really appreciate it so much. But just being in this group has a very calming and very edifying effect. Nurturing. Thank you.
Well. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it is a way of being together that we're all learning about, and we've got many decades of being together in another way. And the fact that this is, working to the extent it is, makes me very grateful. So it's good to see you and Stan. And here's Shakti, and Shakti says that I turned her picture off, and I don't know how I did that. But
yeah, it won't let me join back in with the video. It said the host turned it off.
I must have hit something, so please excuse me, but I don't know what else to do at this point.
That's okay. You can hear me, right?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, and you have that old picture of me, so there you go.
It's a wonderful picture of you, your high school yearbook.
Yeah. No, not quite. So it's interesting. This Zoom world has actually made it easier, I think, if you have a disability to participate, because you don't have to go through the process of trying, and it depends on your disability, obviously, but for a physical disability, I think it actually makes it easier to participate in a lot of different groups. Like, I was listening to all the groups that the Zen Center hosts, and that's like becoming more my community. So I feel like, oh, well, I can practice there. There's something going on every evening. So, it would be worth coming back and doing that. Because, yeah, it's community for me. And, and I wouldn't be going probably to the Zen Center physically that often.
It has some unique advantages. That's for sure. In addition to the ease that you've mentioned of getting here, I've really appreciated people that have zoomed in. Scott's zooming in from Salinas, and we've from Austin, Texas, and people from Canada, and Pennsylvania, and teachers from Washington, D.C. So So there's unique advantages and unique limitations. So I'm glad we're doing it wholeheartedly. It seems like it's the only game in town, and we've just sort of said, I can do this. I'll zoom on again. So here we are.
Yeah.
Any other last words? What have you said, Yarrow?
Martha.
Oh, Martha.
Hello. Had to unmute myself. Since I started practicing, I don't know, 10 years ago, the first word that came to me to describe the people that I met at the Santa Cruz Zen Center was, I've always called you all the earnest Zensters. And I just feel like everybody is so earnest. I mean, and we come together to be our best selves, you know, and there's other groups of people, you know, meeting about fantasy football or whatever, you know, and it's all good. But I just like these people that come together, just like come together out of their hearts to be good people in the world. And so I just have always loved that. And that's the feeling that I have about this community that I so appreciate.
Oh, thank you. And I think earnestness is important for Moon Mind. We do come here and we kind of put ourselves in a certain posture, and we're trying to pay attention to this whole environment. We're maybe relating in a different way, which we can call moon mind, or the moon of our heart and mind. So in earnest is another good word for that, I think. Thank you. Carolyn, did I see your hand up? And then
yes.
Steve.
Yes. Hello, Patrick. This is a little complicated to say, but I will try. Today is the 1-year anniversary of a very dramatic event in my life, where Zen practice and our Sangha was central and important to me. I had a heart attack a year ago, exactly today, September 16th, and was hospitalized. It happened to be in Paris, France, where I was. And so I was in a very foreign setting, although one that I love and that is familiar to me. Even so, I was not familiar with a cardiac unit or hospital culture. And to my great surprise, and I'm mentioning this because I am so grateful, even in the emergency phases of being transported and the surgical intervention and everything that followed, I was not frightened. I was curious. I think that our practice came to me, and all of the deep emotional and spiritual support that we gain from how we are together and our studies just stepped in at that moment and gave me what I needed. So that when I was in hospital during that period of 5 days, fortunately I speak French, so I knew I wasn't at a difficulty then, I felt the support of all of us and all of our ancestors and the bodhisattvas who were incarnate in the form of the doctors and the nurses and the medical aides, with whom after a few days I was singing songs in French. It became a kind of ceremony of sorts. Today I'm celebrating that and remembering that, hoping that, I've done the cardiac rehab properly and that things will continue to be good in the future for all of us as well as for me. But I don't want to underestimate the importance of our practice in my experience over there and in my recovery since then.
Well, the whole universe is celebrating your wholeness and your healing, Carolyn.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for celebrating with us here. And that, I think, was a example of, you know, Buddha nature seeing Buddha nature. You know, there you were, just saying, I'm here completely.
Yes.
And they were meeting you with completeness. So, and your experience with that kind of meeting was something that you remembered from, you know, the few weeks before you got to Paris when you were sitting in the Sangha with us.
That's right.
So what a wonderful image. Thank you. Thank you very much. The screen keeps changing and I'm looking at you and then it'll change and you're in a different place.
Thank you.
Christine, there you are.
Yeah, so the Zen Center has been very much a refuge for me and something that I really look forward to going to daily or at least several times a week. It's kind of a place to come and be separate and kind of nourish myself from the rest of the chaos of my life. And since we've had to move everything to Zoom and being at home and, you know, struggling with trying to create that sort of refuge within my home chaotic life has been challenging, definitely. I think that it's taken me a long time to adjust to that, to get used to the idea of I'm going to sit with everyone on the Zoom instead of going to the Zen Center. And I was doing it on my own for a while, and I'm trying to get into the habit of doing the Zoom with everyone, but it's definitely been challenging. But I really appreciate the fact that it's the option that we have, that we can do this. Yeah. It's really important for me to keep the connection going, but I very much miss being able to go to the Zen Center.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
It's been an okay option, and we're all adjusting, as Kathy said. We're all adjusting to this new option, hoping that we won't forget the old option. Hoping that we get to visit that too. Sandra.
Yes, I don't have any different words to add to the conversation, but I wanted to say that, you know, I've been sheltering in place pretty stringently since March 16th. I remember the very day, and I absolutely don't know how I would be able to do this without the support of the Sangha. And I definitely feel the heart come through of everyone, even during Zoom. So I wanted to express my gratefulness. A word that did come to mind was the Sangha brings life. That's the immediate word that came to my mind when you asked. It's like it just brings a quality of life that I maybe don't feel when I'm sitting Zazen or when I'm studying, you know. The Sangha just brings the feeling of life. It's the embodiment of everything else.
Yes, yes. Well said, well said. I feel that too. That's kind of the vividness that I think Uchiyama was talking about. There's Scott. Is he waving at somebody else?
No, I'll talk. Thanks, Patrick. Like Kathy said, I fought the Zoom initially, but the Zoom won, and now I embrace it. And, you know, I drove over there 3-4 times a week, and with the traffic and, you know, the gas and everything. But, you know, all the programs are great. The only thing that I really miss is the food at Sangha Day.
Yeah, yeah.
But that'll return.
Yeah. Well, I agree. We, of course, belong to the order of Buddhism that does food well. It's one of the sacraments of Soto Zen, and that's one of the things we've had to put down for a while. Thank you. I've got some of the, you've seen Charlie behind me. He wanted to experience the Sangha today. On Zoom, and so say hello to Charlie, and any last words before our final chant?
Is the remodel all done? How's that going?
At the Zen Center, the remodel is totally done. Kitchen, bathroom, new carpets, new paint job inside. It's looking great. It's looking great. And during this COVID time, we're going to be renting it out. So if anybody knows a nice Zen student that could tolerate us going in and out to the library for here and there, please spread the word. May our Zoom practice continue to unite us, continue to remind us that we're all together, that our hearts are meeting each other's hearts, our Buddha nature is swallowing up each other's Buddha nature. And may this practice, whether on Zoom, whether in our homes, whether in the Zendo, may this practice continue endlessly, beings are numberless, I vow to save them, delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them, Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to be finished.